FM.
Stay relevant and up to date. Keep informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
Good evening. This is Stan Claff from the HID Hour. I'm the Grand Secretary of the Hebrew Order of David International. I have with me in the studio Craig Guthrie, and we're going to be talking to Rabbi Daniel Brody, who's based in Israel, and we're going to be focusing on religion, but a little bring a little bit of excitement into Shabbos. And Rabbi Daniel Brody has written a book, Learn Shabbos in Just 3 Minutes a Day. I don't know how long it'll take you to learn Shabbos, but good evening, Rabbi Brody. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Stan. Thanks for having me.
And it's only a pleasure. Rabbi, give us an overview of the book and what you hope to achieve.
Look, the first you have to know that Shabbos is it's just such a core of Yiddishkeit. It's such a core of Judaism, and so one's got to be very, very focused on it and pay a lot of attention to it. Now, there's a lot of details in the laws of Shabbos, and so sometimes it's quite hard to get through. So what I try to do is to put together a book that would convey the laws of Shabbos in the easiest way.
So now, sorry.
The truth is, Stan, is that actually I never planned to write a book. I actually send out emails every day on specific laws. We've done a lot of, I've got a whole group, a couple, you know, out of hundreds of people who get a law every single day through the email. And that way we've been learning together, you know, our Holy Torah. So, but it came to a point, you know, we did other halachas. We did the halachas of the laws of tzedakah, of brochas, of a lot of things, but we did also a Shabbos. And, because I had so much content, and people really took to it, so then it made sense to then to adapt it and put it into a professional book, and so it is one of a kind now today in the Jewish world.
So does this book take you from being a complete ignoramus to being a dati Jew, able to manage Shabbos in the best possible way?
That's it. It actually appeals to, it's very, been very interesting, but it appeals to a lot of people. Across the whole spectrum. On one hand, I've had people who are surfers in California who have no idea about Shabbos, and but they do want to grow in it. So they're starting off with a book like this, and slowly, slowly, it gets them into it. On the other hand, I've gone to some of the highest level koilos, meaning yeshivas in Israel, and people that are on a very high level, but they've they also want to revise the laws of Shabbos, and so therefore it goes through everything. So across the range, I feel it's actually been a great benefit for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people. And certainly if somebody wants to start keeping Shabbos, this is a great product.
So from the Hebrew Order of David's point of view, we are looking at Jews, you know, who are secular, who are religious, and right across the spectrum. And, in the looking at it and really researching what goes on in the world, I found that attendance at shuls is somewhat stunted by the fact that many people don't have a full understanding of Shabbos. Will this in some way assist to bring people, to get them over their embarrassment perhaps, their reluctance to go to shul because they don't know the ways? Or is this more of a textbook on Shabbos? Or is it a combination of both?
Yeah, I'd say it's a combination of both. On the one hand, it's got everything you need to know. You know, right from the start of Shabbos, how to light candles, how to say Kiddush, you know, how to say Havdalah, to have a meal after Shabbos is called Melava Malka, and also all the laws, you know, about what you can't do on Shabbos. So it's got all the do's and don'ts that are quite intricate, but I've tried to put them in a very easy format. You know, that's why it's called Learn Shabbos in Just 3 Minutes a Day. So that's from the viewpoint of do's and don'ts. On the other hand, I feel that if a person really wants to grow in the Yiddish God, he has to have some connection to a Rav in particular, a rabbi, okay, and to a community. I've never ever seen people grow without that. It just doesn't go, because you need to feel part of something. And so therefore to be a part of a shul and to have a close connection to a Rav, especially if he can guide you, is the other part of Shabbos. You know, that's the other part of growing. So you need both. You need the do's and don'ts, you know, so you could get away with sitting at home and going through the book. But at some point, I think a person's going to feel a bit flat if he's not part of something. You know, the Jewish people are about that. We're about having a minyan every day. We're about having, all the time we just get together in all situations. You know, you need 10 people for this. You need 3 people for that. And so we're part of communities. That's just how people grow. You can't grow without that. So it is both. It's a combination of both.
So actually, the issue with a lot of shuls today, I think, is that the mainstream shuls are struggling. And I think that's a lot of the population who attend mainstream shuls, when I'm talking about the bigger shuls, not talking about the Shtiblach. I think they are an aging population, and I think that a lot of them came through a process of schooling which was prior to the Jewish day schools. And perhaps they didn't get the depth of education that modern children are getting, today's children are getting. So they, I think, are in many ways they've learnt and they've caught on and they do have a good understanding. But I have many, many acquaintances, friends, relatives, etc., who I think are not that well versed in the process. And I think you're right. I think if there's a rabbi is prepared to mentor the congregants and to guide them through the process and make it easy for them to follow, that they actually understand what they're doing and what they're reading and not just sitting there and listening to the choir, maybe that is a better angle for encouraging shul going, shul development and keeping of Shabbos.
Yes. Look, the thing is that the world has changed. From a shul point of view, the world has changed in the last 30, 40 years. The old shul model, which was very beautiful, was able to attract a traditional Jew. But today, we are so immersed in the rest of the world that to just be traditional is not going to actually bring people into an old model shul. The reason why the shtibbles are not struggling as much as the old shuls are is because of the very thing that you're talking about, which is an intimate connection, some sort of personal connection with the Rav, and so an interest that he can help grow you. So whereas the old shuls, you might have thousands of seats, right, but because they're getting emptier, the reason is because you don't have the same personal connection. It takes a very special Rav, and they are, to maintain that connection in a big old school, shul. Now, Shabbos is the very day where everybody sort of comes together. So you see it more, it comes out a lot more on Shabbos.
Yes, so my experience is that that is the case. And of course, it's a very social event, really, Shabbos, for most people that come to shul. In some days, I actually think to myself that the religious part is just coincidental. The reason that they're there is to get the week's Aggie and to catch up with what's going on in the community. And I actually rely on my wife
to bring home that information. That's still okay. People are still coming to shul for that. It's still all right. You know, as long as people are getting to shul, you know, you hear one word of Torah, we don't understand the value of just one word of Torah. One word of Torah is going to last you infinity. It's going to be for absolute eternity. So even if a guy comes for the brocha afterwards, but he hears one Dvar Torah, one word, for, you know, one, it's going to stick with him forever and ever. That's still okay. That's not ideal, but it's okay. Do you know what I mean? So, but it is the best day of the week. Shabbos is the greatest day of the week. There is no doubt about it. It's a chance, as you're saying, to get together socially. but it's also a chance to grow. The emes is, Stan, is that the Gemara says in Beitza, so the Gemara says that a person gets an extra neshoma on Shabbos. Can you imagine that? You know, imagine he gets an extra soul, right? And the soul comes into a person before, as Shabbos comes in, and leaves after Shabbos. And when it gets to, and it goes up to Shamayim, it goes to the heavens, and Hashem and the heavens say to the soul, what did you do when you were down there? You know, for the Shabbos. And the soul's got to say, I grew, I did something, I listened to a word of Torah, I davened in the shul, I did connect in shul. So there is definitely a place, that Shabbos has with regards to the shul, and one's got to focus on that. Stan, I want to just add one point.
Rabbi, can I interrupt you? Can you hold that thought? I want to take an ad break and we'll come back in a moment.
From talk to music, from Johannesburg to Israel, from sport to business, this is 101.9 High FM.
And this is the HID Hour. I'm Stan Claff. We're talking to Rabbi Daniel Brody, author of Learn Shabbos in just 30 minutes a day. And very interesting discussion around Shabbos, the meaning of Shabbos, what it means to people individually. And Rabbi, you were going to say one important thought. I'm sure there are many, but this is one particular one.
Stan, what's important here is that older people need to realize that there's so much they can still do. And the truth is that in a certain sense, it's actually easier for them to do than younger people. Let me explain what I mean. Okay? And that is as follows. The older a person gets, the less attached to this world he is, the less material focused he is. He's slightly less physical. You know, as a person gets older, you know, when you're 20, you can run a mile and quick. But when you start getting a little bit older, so then you're not as strong, and so therefore you're not as connected to this world in a sense, which makes you more of a spiritual, you know, vesicle, a spiritual receptacle and vessel to actually attain growth in Yiddishkeit. So what I mean is that people that are, you know, getting older, and older could be for some people it's 50, for some people it's 80, for some people it's more, right? But the older you get, the less attached you actually are to this world. And therefore you've got more of an opportunity to get closer to Hashem because you're actually less physical. And so therefore, for the people that are, getting older, they must know that this is your chance. You've actually got a head start in this game. So even though you may have not had the education that other people have got today, but the truth is that you very, very much are at an advantage to them. And if you look in the Torah, you'll see this. When Moshe Rabbeinu took out Klal Yisrael, when Moses took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, how old was he? He was 80 years old. And his brother was Aaron, is 83 years old. Imagine. The greatest things that they did was when they were 80 years old. Avraham Avinu, his greatest test, right, was that he had to sacrifice his son Yitzchak. How old was he? He was 99 years old. Now what that means is that you actually are able to achieve great things even though you're getting older. And it's very, very important. I once told this over that there was a woman in Jerusalem here, right, who was 74 years old. She went into a butcher and she saw some poor people come in and get like the offcuts, some of the bones and some of the, you know, the offshoots of all the scraps. And she said to the butcher afterwards, why are you giving it to those people? So the butcher said, well, they're very, very poor. So she said, I better start something. And she started an organization that actually, she raised funds for chickens for poor people in Jerusalem. And she actually raised funds to buy chickens every week for, I'm telling you, over 150 at one stage, 150, and even went to many more chickens for poor people. She became known as a chicken lady. I want to tell you something. She was 74 when she started. She carried on doing this for 15 years. Now, wow. If you look back at her life, what are you going to say the greatest achievement that she ever did was? It was probably those 15 years. So I'm saying that when a person gets older, they actually are able to achieve possibly even more when they were younger, because when they were younger, they were more attached to this world as opposed to when they get older.
So From the Hebrew Order of David's perspective, and we are a charity-based organization, that's what we're about. How do we connect that to Shabbos, and how, and what is the connection? Also, how do we attract the type of person you're talking about to join us, who's an older person, has got more time, and of course, at the same time, he's getting more involved in Jewish affairs. So surely there's got to be a good opportunity for both.
Look, again, as I say, older people, they've seen a lot more than younger people, and therefore they can discern something which has value and something which doesn't have value. Now, Shabbos and the Torah has great value. In fact, that's the greatest value you'll ever find. So I think the way to attract people is to show them the beauty of Shabbos. You actually have to show them that this is the greatest day of the week. And Hashem says so in the Torah. It says, Vayevorech Elohim es Yom HaShvi, Vayekadesh Oisoi. It says Hashem blessed the seventh day. Now, if Hashem blessed it, you should know it's full of blessing. And in fact, in Lecha Dodi, we say this is the Makor HaBracha. This is the source of all brocha. So if a person knows that his brocha is coming out of Shabbos, right, and he knows that it's the delight of the whole week. I mean, in my house, you know, if you buy treats for kids, it's for Shabbos. Because Shabbos is the day. Hashem made it that should be the special day. So I think to get people involved in the HOD, using Shabbos as a way, you have to show people that Shabbos can be very special. And so if the HOD has centers around the world or, wherever it is, on a Shabbos, and you've got something which is inspirational, because as we say, when people get older, so they can tune into things which have more value, like wisdom. And so therefore, if you give them inspirational talks, and if you give them, you feed them the things that they may have been missing when they were younger, you'll get them. You'll definitely get them, because, as I say, the older they get, the more attracted they are by these things, as opposed to all the material things.
Are young people more attracted to Shabbos than before, or do you find that there's drifting away? I mean, I know America tends to be a problem, but I mean, let's talk about the rest of the world. You know, I've been in Israel and I don't find that everybody keeps Shabbos. I mean, a lot do, but certainly a very large percentage don't.
Stan, I could cry while you say it. It's, unfortunately, it's true. It's true. I think the majority of people, of Jewish people around the world just don't know. They actually just don't know how special Shabbos is. And if they had any idea how special Shabbos is, so then they would for sure be more involved. The just, like you're saying, that the education that people have had is so limited that you know, you can't blame anyone. It's just that they actually just don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I went through 18 years of education in Jewish schools, or however long it was, 12 years, I don't know. And I had to sort of, recuperate, and recover quite a lot of the information that I never got taught in school.
Right.
Okay. So the thing is that most of the issue is that people just don't know. I think, you know, I once heard, I once heard Rabbi Goldman, you know, Rabbi Goldman on Sidnam Shul, and, he's fantastic. He once said about his wife's cholent. His wife's cholent have brought more people, closer to Yiddishkeit than his droshes. Now, Chas v'Shalom, that's not to say that his droshes aren't good. He's brilliant. But, I'm saying if people just experienced Shabbos in the way that it's supposed to be, I think that would certainly turn them on.
So just a quick story about Rabbi Goldman. In fact, today I emailed him a question. I wanted to get an answer for it, and he kind of sidestepped the thing, and he said, "You know, I'm happy to discuss it on Shabbos. Will you be there?" So I sent him a message back to say, "You know, that's a good question." He sent back an email to me saying, "No, that's a good suggestion." So yes, he's very bright and very sharp and on the ball. And, so just coming back to, there's, you know, the problem that I find with Shabbos, and it's not a problem with Shabbos per se, but it says that And I know that the whole week you work and then you take a rest on Shabbos. But there are another 6 days in the week in which you could be involved in other stuff, which must also have an importance, involvement. And I think that if you're apathetic about one thing, you're going to be apathetic about most. And I think that there's a very strong connection between being involved and spiritually involved, at least to some extent, and being involved in communal affairs. I think the two go hand in hand. I think, unfortunately, youngsters today have lost the communal spirit. They've focused a lot on Shabbos. They've focused a lot on the shul. They've forgotten that there are other people out there outside of the shul environment. I think there's a disconnect, and that also, I think, presents a problem. And it's daunting for people who are not involved to that extent in the religious side to become involved. And I think that's why it intrigues me that you brought out a book to learn Shabbos in just 3 minutes a day, because what you're really saying is, listen, you only have to spend 3 minutes a day on the subject. It doesn't seem enough, but yet I suppose if you're diligent and you keep up the process, you're achieving something. So somewhere in between all of that, am I making some sort of sense? Is there a connection?
Yeah. The truth is like this, that greatness is not built in one day. Greatness is usually built day after day. In other words, the things that you're doing every day is a sign of greatness. I know there's a lady here who organizes a shiur, a lesson, right? She finds a rabbi every week to give a lesson here. I'm one of the regular speakers there, on a Shabbos afternoon. And she's been doing this now for nearly 30 years. Now, if you say to me that she's done this once, that's also great, because any words of Torah, as I told you before, there's nothing like the words of Torah, and they last, like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, they last with you forever and ever. You know, the gold and the silver is going to stay here, but the only thing you're going to take with is Torah and mitzvahs, like the Mishnah says. So this lady, as she's just done it once, was already an achievement. But she's been doing it every week, can you imagine, for 25, 30 years. Now that's called greatness. Greatness is built, over time. And so therefore, this book, that it says learn Shabbos in just 3 minutes a day, it's a way that you can do every day, you can build. You know, what we say in Yiddish, it's noche yodia, noche yodia. It's another thought and idea that you never had before and now you've got. So this is a way that you can certainly grow on a daily basis. In fact, let me tell you also that the most crucial of all the korbanot, of all the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, was actually the one that was offered up every day. It was called the Tamid. And you couldn't offer up anything before them. The Tamid always came first. And that was the one that you did every single day. That means Sunday through all the way, even on Shabbos you brought it up, even on Yom Kippur, and even on Yom Kippur it would be the first thing to be brought up. Why? Because it's teaching us that things which are done every day creates greatness. And so therefore I think you've got a great point, that not only is this is Shabbos a work on Shabbos, but it's also a work that one has to put in during the week.
So let's talk about the book for a moment. So you wrote the book. It's now available around the world. I know in Johannesburg, it's available at the Kollel Bookshop.
I think just recently it got into the Kollel Bookshop. Perhaps this week, I think they got it. So it's available there.
If people want it, they can go to, where do they go to get it? Besides Kollel, if they want to get it online or?
Oh, okay. So look, in America, there's Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of Yidden in America. And so therefore, there's a lot of books in America. So at any local major Jewish bookstore in America, and online at feldheim.com or amazon.com, person can buy it. The same goes for in Canada. The same goes for in the UK. It's going to get to Australia also pretty soon. With regards to South Africa, I think that the Kollel Bookshop, as you said, has just received it. Otherwise, people can buy it directly from me. And I've got someone there that will be able to distribute it for me. And they could just email me. I could give you my email address.
Yes,
and
do
then
it.
Just order it.
Give it to the public.
So the email address is, Danny Brody. So it's D-A-N-N-Y B-R-A-U-D-E. One word. DannyBrody@gmail.com. If it's easier for you to remember, there's actually another email address, which is learnshabbos@gmail.com. And that Shabbos is spelled S-H-A-B-B-O-S. So it would be learnshabbos, learnshabbos@gmail.com. And also I've advertised, on the JJCF. A lot of people are part of the JJCF, so you could always find my address there. I just want more and more people to learn Shabbos. You know, Shabbos is, you know, people just don't understand how crucial Shabbos is to one's happiness and to one's connection to Hashem. A person's got 613, limbs and muscles. We know there's 365 muscles and 248 limbs, and that, corresponds to the 613 mitzvot. It's quite an amazing thing. Hashem made it that way. He made it that every body actually is connected to the mitzvahs. Now, just like the body has certain limbs or organs that a person can chas v'shalom do without, you know, a person chas v'shalom, if he loses, chas v'shalom, a finger, you know, he can still live, okay? But if a person loses chas v'shalom a heart or a brain, so he can't live. And so therefore, what corresponds to that, says the Chofetz Chaim, is actually Shabbos. Shabbos is like the heart, of the Jewish people. And therefore, it's something that a person should really think to take on, to build on. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, people have to, yeah, as I say, guidance with the Rav is very, very important. But, one should try and take on some sort of growth in Shabbos, because as I say, that is a fulfillment of Hashem's command. And that is a way that a person is actually going to be happier in this world. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Kirvas Elokim li toiv. Kirvas Elokim, closeness to Hashem is good. What David HaMelech, King David, is telling us, and you know, this is your show, this is the Hebrew order of David, right? So what did David say? What did King David say? You know what he said? He said that, you know what's good in life is to be close to Hashem. And one of the ways that you get close to Hashem is if you're attaching yourself to the heart of all of Yiddishkeit, which is Shabbos. So therefore, I think it's very chashuv. It's very important that, you know, people try, and even people that are keeping Shabbos. There's so many nuances and details that also need, you know, review and study. And so therefore, it's important to focus on it.
So Rabbi, you're a young man. You've got a lot of wisdom. It comes through when you talk, and you have a lot of enthusiasm and passion. Just tell us a little bit about your journey that got you to this point.
Look, Kodem Kol, before anything, I've been very, very blessed to have been born to two very special people, to Avi Mori, my father, he should be well, and my Imi Morasi, my mother, she should be well. They are both very, very special people, and there's nothing really that I've achieved that without them, that I would have been able to. So that's before anything. And I grew up in a house, Baruch Hashem, with special siblings and with a great joy in keeping mitzvot and just a simcha, about Yiddishkeit, about Judaism. And how I got to this point is that I went through school and I had quite interesting journeys in school. I was in Torah Academy in nursery school and in Yeshiva College in primary school and King David in high school. So that, I suppose, gave me quite a balance, if I can call it, as part of the community. And but then I studied accounting. I went to UJ in the old RAL, and I did articles. So I actually qualified as a CA. But throughout that time in university and in articles, I felt I needed more. I just needed more meaning and more, I felt a longing for something. And the only way really that a Jew can really get fulfilled is if he connects to the Torah. And so whenever I had a spare chance, I would try and go, come to Israel you know, on university holidays or in take off leave or this and that. And so it brought me to the point where I realized even after articles, after I qualified, as a CA, that it would be, the next step, the next step is to come to Yeshiva. And I've been here pretty much ever since, because the more I realize I've got so much more to learn. So the real truth is that it's a whole combination of factors. And, you know, I've only got appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Hashem. You know, just on the journey that he's put me on. And, I've only got appreciation to him. There's just, he's the creator. He's the one who runs the world. He's involved in our lives. And, you know, nothing can be done without Hashem's involvement. And so therefore I just have appreciation to him. So that's pretty much, in a nutshell, how I got from one to here.
Where are you at the moment? Where's the yeshiva?
In Jerusalem, in Jerusalem.
Okay, so we're going to take another break and we'll come back and finish the chat. I mean, this chat, we could talk about Shabbos, I guess, until Shabbos, but we'll take a break in the meantime and come back.
The best part of your day. At the heart of your community. All the talk. All the music. All the news. Chai FM.
And we're back with the HOD Hour with Stan Claff, and we're talking to Rabbi Daniel Brody at the Yeshiva in Jerusalem. Just a quick announcement before we move on. The Hebrew Order of David has put together a competition, an initiative called A Day in the Life of a Jew in South Africa. What we're asking is take photographs today with a cell phone. That's pretty easy. You can do that anywhere and everywhere. Just don't do it on Shabbos. Take photographs of whatever situation you want, whatever situation you find yourself in. If it's Jewish, send it to us at admin@hodavid.org, admin@hodavid.org. We hope, if things go well, also to publish a book on the life of Jews in South Africa at some point. There's a 25,000 rand of prizes up for grabs. When you send the picture, I know a picture tells 1,000 words, but let's not have 1,000 words. Just add some lines of blurb to it, which we can explain the situation, and we'd really like to hear from you. Our website is going to be up and running within the next month or so, and we will be posting some of the good pictures on there. So it's an opportunity all around to get involved and to show something and showcase the community in South Africa. Rabbi Daniel Brody, we're back with you. Just tell us a little bit about how the book's going, sales, etc. Is it up to expectation?
Look, it's you know, we don't say too much, because the Gemara says that there's only brocha which is covered. Brocha comes on something which is covered. So, you know, you don't want to. If I knew, then that would be one thing. But I don't even know to tell you. What I can tell you is like this: is that we've done our third print. Now, in English Jewish books worldwide, that's quite a major feat, Baruch Hashem. You know, the truth is that I can't take any credit for it. I've got a very special wife who's backed me all the way, and the Gemara says that actually the merit of any success in anything is really through one's wife. It says, "Ula Avram etiv ba'avura," that Avram became wealthy. Not that I'm talking about wealthier, but a different form of wealth at least. But Avram became wealthy through her, meaning through Sarah. So the Gemara says that a person should know that success in these type of areas actually comes as a merit, you know, through the wife. And so therefore, I certainly can't take credit for it. But in terms of the numbers, we've done our third print, which is quite a major thing in Jewish books. The first print got sold out. That's over 1,000 books got sold out, you know, in America in the first month. Then we did a second and a third, and I'm very grateful, obviously, to the sponsors also, you know, to do this, to do this and it needs money, unfortunately. You know, you can't just do it. You need people to back you.
Absolutely.
And people saw a calling for it. And so therefore it was, we were able to do it. I would say like this, that we've printed over 4,000 books now, Baruch Hashem. They're going. I think Klal Yisrael needs this book. It's an easy book to use. It's a book which people are gaining from every day. And it's something which is, I think is really going to help, Klal Yisrael, to help the Jewish people. Doesn't matter if you're young, doesn't matter if you're old. I've got Yeshiva Bochrim to the older people in, Los Angeles. It's a book that's definitely benefiting people, and Feldheim is excited about it. It is a passion of mine, as you can hear. I think just people need to know that it's actually quite easy today. It's never been easier to keep Shabbos than it is today.
So on that note, we received a WhatsApp message from somebody by the name of Anra, who's asking, what does one do if one lives far away from a shul? How does one keep Shabbos? How does one get to shul? What are the laws around that? And what would you advise? So obviously he has difficulty getting there, or she.
It's a tricky question. You can't drive to shul. What's the problem of driving to shul? Is that every time that you turn on the engine and you put your foot on the accelerator, you're creating sparks. And creating a spark, lighting a fire on Shabbos is a problem. So there's no authentic Rav in the world that can tell you that you're allowed to drive to shul on Shabbos. And so therefore this presents a problem. So I can't, unfortunately, I have to try as much as possible to accommodate on one hand, but also just to give you the raw, facts as it is. Your best bet, I feel, is like this, is that, you have to recognize that Hashem looks after you. And so if you make a decision to be closer to a shul, in other words, to actually, move closer to a shul, Hashem is going to look after you. It says that Hashem protects Klal Yisrael in the merit of Shabbos. In fact, let me tell you this, because Purim is next week, is that the seventh day of the whole Seudah, the whole party of Achashverosh, was on Shabbos. And the Kli Yakov says over there that they didn't, one of the commentators says that over there they didn't go, the Jewish people didn't go to the Seudah, to that party of Achashverosh on Shabbos, because they were careful, that they didn't want to break Shabbos.
Sure.
And in fact, that very Seudah is that very day of the party, is the day that Vashti was asked to come out and she didn't, and she was killed. And Esther, who eventually became the Redeemer in the whole story of Purim, was basically born into the family, was basically brought into the whole fold and the whole story of Purim on that day. So the Meforashim, the commentators, learn out that Shabbos actually protects Jews, right? And so therefore, I'm saying to you that whoever asks this question, okay, and I've got full backing and I'm full conviction of what I'm about to tell you, is that if you make a decision to get closer to Shabbos and you decide to get closer to Hashem, He's going to look after you, okay? And so therefore, no authentic Rav in the world can tell you to drive to shul, but to find a house, right, and maybe you'll take a loss on the house, He will pay you back, right? Especially when it comes to Shabbos, right? It says that Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha. It's the source of all Bracha. And so therefore, this is something you'll never ever lose out. You will never ever lose out by doing what Hashem says. And that's the best advice I can give you.
So from somebody who's far away, I mean, the sublime to the ridiculous, will there ever become a time when people will be able to go online and keep Shabbos via the internet or via the iPad and manage it from there? Because I'm scared that's the way the world's going.
It's the way the world's going, but
I know it won't be the same.
It's not going
to happen. Okay. Rabbi, we're about to have another ad break. They seem to come with monotonous regularity. I'm going to say thank you for being with us. Thank you for agreeing to discuss this. And tomorrow morning, I can assure you, at some point in the morning, I'll be going to buy a book from the Kollel And I hope that others will follow, and we'll be picking up this, and we would like to perhaps the HID to get involved in some of the sales, in some of the distribution of your book. And I wish you really good luck with this book. Kol HaKavod, you're doing a great mitzvah, and you're really, I'm proud of you as an export from South Africa.
Stan, thanks very much for just for the opportunity just to share the inspiration and to share the excitement. As you can hear, this is my passion. And, yeah, I think this is a great way for people to grow and, to be excited by Yiddishkeit. You know, we're one out of, 7 billion, you know, people, and one out of 15 million people. We are very, very lucky to be Yidden. And so when a person knows that he's lucky to be a Yid and that he can get close to Hashem and Hashem loves him, you're in a different frame of mind. And so therefore, for me, it's an opportunity, and I'm very grateful to you for asking me to come on the show and to spread that, that message to Klal Yisrael. And I wish everybody they should have a good Shabbos and, a very special Purim next week.
Amen.
Stay relevant and up to date. Keep informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
So in order to assist in keeping relevant, this is the HID Hour. I'm Stan Claff. I'm the Grand Secretary of the Hebrew Order of David. The Hebrew Order of David is very involved in community work around the world. And right now we have several projects in which we're involved. On the 5th of June, there's the Dr. Herzl Golf Day. If you'd like to play golf, you can contact 076-686-8259. I can assure you that this is the best day for prizes. Every player will go away with a prize, and it won't be just a small prize. It'll be something substantial, and you should contact the organizer, Jeff Salsky, on 076-686-8759. We're very involved with the JGSA, which is the Jewish Genealogical Society of South Africa. And I'm proud to say that Margarita Curtis, a Bolivian living in Israel, has been involved in various travels and journeys, from South America. She's a Bolivian. Obviously she has an understanding. And the Hebrew Order of David and the JGSA invite you to join us for an evening on a journey of the history of the Jews in Latin America, where they came from, to building their communities and all the stories behind the scenes. It's going to be a fascinating evening. It's the 31st, Sunday the 31st of March. Be there at 7 p.m. There'll be some refreshments afterwards. That's the 31st of March. Margarita Curtis, a Bolivian who lives in Israel and is going to give you any benefit of her experience. We have another function coming up on the 16th of May where Cantor Ezra Schur, that's the chazan who is at Pine Street Shul, will be entertaining elderly guests at the HID, at the HID Center, which we have once every quarter. We have a morning. And this one is going to be on the Thursday, the 16th of May, where Cantor Ezra Schur will be entertaining people, and you're very welcome to come and listen and enjoy the morning with us. Last but not least, the Hebrew Order of David has a long history of association with people in South Africa, with families in South Africa, and we will be holding a memorial meeting on the 29th of August 2019, and that is to celebrate the association with Jews and with our members of the Hebrew Order of David, who, when almost every small town, every village around the country, there was a Hebrew Order of David, an HID lodge. And I'm sure that there are families who would like to come and remember their loved ones and spend an evening just remembering the past and sharing with us in the success and the last 115 years of the Hebrew Order of David in South Africa. I'm going to wish you a good evening. Thank you for listening. We did have Rabbi Daniel Brody, who wrote a book, Learn Shabbos in Just 3 Minutes a Day. I hope you'll rush out and buy it. I believe it's a good read, and I'm going to be delving into that book in the next few days. And wish everyone, we'll be broadcasting in the evening on Purim. We have a rabbi from Philadelphia who will be talking about Purim, and we hope that you'll join us next week, next Thursday. That's the 21st of March at 6 o'clock. This is the HAD Hour, and good night and good Shabbos.